taking on such short notice. It sounds, you know, from David, it sounds like you're kind of exactly who I was trying to find for this article, because it's kind of a very niche topic, to say the least.
Yeah, what I could do, if you want, is I have the questions, first of all, that you sent, but I could explain, if you have the time, the theory behind it, because one of the things I deal with and Named deals with is substance abuse. One of the biggest, of course, is alcoholism, and tell you the problems that it causes, and then answer any specific questions for you if you want. Or I could just go into the questions, but I think if you understand the concept and the theory, it might help, and then you could figure out what you're putting in the article. I assume you're taping this anyhow, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just taking notes as we go, but so I think just to give you a good sense of, you know, kind of who our reader is and what that background looks like. So the reader for the Weight Watchers is really, you know, mainly women who are between 30 and 45 about, and, you know, people who struggle with their weight, who, you know, you're a very typical average American, slightly overweight, you know, trying to focus on eating better, but still kind of trying to, like, live that balanced life. So in this sense, in the idea of, you know, somebody who's hungover, it's definitely not anyone who has a substance abuse problem or who has that issues of alcohol use, excessive alcohol use over time, but it, you know, it is having, you know, a couple of drinks a week, maybe going a little bit too hard once a month, and kind of dealing with the repercussions of that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And most people don't just have a couple drinks a week. You know, they tend to do a little more, and more on the weekends, etc. But let me explain the theory behind it to you.
Definitely.
Do you know what opiate receptors are?
Why don't you refresh my memory?
Okay. Well, I know you're not a scientist, so when I ask you a question, please don't take it wrong. Okay. We have opiate receptors in our bodies, which are clusters of cells. You know, they're basically proteins. Anyhow, when these cells get stimulated, or bound to, as they call it, binding, they release chemicals. These chemicals give us urges. All the urges that we have as humans come from the opiate receptors, except for sex.
Okay.
That comes from someplace else. Now, what I've learned over time is that it's not just drugs and alcohol that stimulate the opiate receptors. A lot of other things stimulate the opiate receptors, like sugar, like gluten, like additives, like preservatives, like dairy products, like sugar substitutes, except for stevia, like nicotine, like caffeine. And when they stimulate the opiate receptors, the opiate receptors releases the chemicals, and then whatever you're used to having or the body thinks the urge is for, based on what you normally have urges for, if it's alcohol, it'll be more alcohol. If it's just sugar in general, it'll be sugar. I'm sure you heard of the book, Sugar is as Addicting as Cocaine. That's where it comes from. So there is a physiological reason that people who drink alcohol gain weight easier and things like that. It's not just, you know, because I had some beers and it has calories in it. It stimulates the opiate receptors, and if they're not really an alcoholic, it's telling them to, well, giving them urges for other things like sugar, like gluten, all things that'll make you gain weight.
Okay, so that's kind of the essence of a craving almost.
That's right. And 100% of the cravings, especially for food, come from the opiate receptors or because of the opiate receptors. So that's why the NAME program is designed around not stimulating or the opiate receptors and to suppress them. No, now I'm doing it for drugs and for mental illness, but it's also, you know, like for diabetes or for weight, it works the same way. If you eat gluten versus don't eat gluten, but you have the exact same menu, you'll end up having 350 calories more per day because the gluten stimulates the opiate receptors.
Okay.
So those are the type of things. So that's one problem. The next problem is alcohol is acidic. Acid, which we all have too much of, almost all Americans have too much acid in their bodies, causes acidosis. And most of us are in a low state of acidosis all the time. Acidosis causes inflammation. Inflammation causes all sorts of problems, besides the linings of your stomach and your intestines and things like that. The CDC says inflammation adversely affects or is actually causative to 85% of all chronic diseases, including obesity and diabetes, which obviously, you know, weight is a big factor, and I'm sure Weight Watchers is very cognizant too. So that's the second thing that we want to watch. So of course, my diet's a 70% alkaline, 30% acidic, because we want to watch the acidity, and then I use a special water called hydroxide water, which is made of OH molecules. Remember, water is H2O. This is just OH molecules. It's natural, comes from limestone, and it runs around like a little Pac-Man, and it gets all the H's from wherever it can, and the H's is what the H plus ions is what causes acidity.
Okay.
So if we get rid of the acidity, we'll get rid of the inflammation. So that's the other problem that that you have with alcohol. And then the third one, which most people don't know about, and then I'll answer all your questions, is did you ever hear of the pineal gland? P-I-N-E-A-L.
Okay, what does that do?
Okay, the pineal gland is also known as the master gland. And that produces all of the melatonin in the body, but it basically controls the endocrine system. That's why they call it the master gland. All the melatonin in your body is made there. The only way to convert serotonin, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter, to melatonin is through the pineal gland. More blood goes through the pineal gland than any gland in the body except for the kidneys, which is really an organ, but it's also considered a gland. And it's the size of a piece of rice. Well, it very easily gets toxified and calcifies, and then it doesn't produce those things, which causes lots of problems, including things like diabetes, because it throws off the insulin mechanism, which obviously alcohol does, and gives us cravings for sugar, which then it goes back and stimulates the opiate receptors to tell us to have more sugar. And one of the things that they say toxifies the pineal gland, and you could look on my name website if you want, for it's just nameprogram.com, and you could see a peer-reviewed research article that I did on the pineal glands, but also some of the other stuff if you want some backup for it. And then I have all the references besides my own on there. But alcohol toxifies the pineal gland, and it stops the production of melatonin, indirectly serotonin. So you don't feel good, then you don't feel good about yourself. And, you know, one of your questions said, you know, that you're feeling crappy.
Yeah.
Well, that's why one of the reasons you're feeling crappy, you don't have melatonin. It affects your sleep. So all those things, now you just want some quick energy because you didn't sleep well. So what do? You have a candy bar instead of an all-natural protein.
Yeah.
So all those things, the inflammation, the opiate receptors and the pineal gland, all are affected negatively by alcohol, and they're affected long term by it. Now I'll answer all your questions.
Well, based on, you know, what you said too, for melatonin, you know, you hear melatonin mostly in relation to sleep, but what does melatonin affect in terms of your mood?
It calms you down.
When you have enough of it, it helps calm you down?
Yeah, you know, if you have a normal amount in your body, you're less irritable, it'll calm you down. It's the same concept as serotonin. As a matter of fact, serotonin is converted to melatonin, and they have the same building blocks. They're very similar. But if you don't have enough, that's when you get things like anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, PTSD, depression. All those things come from not having enough of that, and alcohol contributes to that because it's stimulating the opiate receptors, it's causing inflammation, and it causes lots of problems. The typical person who's abusing alcohol will get 50% of their calories from alcohol.
Wow.
That's pure sugar. You know, most alcohols, I know there's a few that aren't, but sugar is terrible for the body, and it causes inflammation, which is causing all the other diseases. And now inflammation, I'm sure you've heard it in the news a lot lately, they're trying to force the medical schools to study it more. As a matter of fact, I'm working.
Oh, that's interesting.
With five of them. And then the last thing that it affects is, you've heard of gut flora. You know, we have more bacteria in our body than we do cells in our body. It's like well over 100 to 1. Well, if you upset the balance of the good bacteria to the bad bacteria, which sugar does, so therefore alcohol does, then the bad bacteria will take over, and that causes a huge amount of problems and diseases. And then you have to go to the doctors, and the doctors aren't well versed on gut flora. Again, they're just starting to study it, but the bad one is candida, and when you have too much sugar, that's what takes over or kills off or overwhelms the good bacteria, which keeps our body in balance, you know, the homeostasis.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to avoid. So that's the reason for those answers that I just gave you, or explanations. Now I'll do it more specifically for you. But that's the answer in one form or fashion to all of your questions.
Yeah, no, that's incredibly helpful to have that overview. In terms of the gut bacteria, in the realm of sort of the short term, for the amount that alcohol upsets your balance of good to bad bacteria on a 12-hour basis, what do the results of that look like? Or is it more of a over time?
Well, over time, it's real bad. Short time, it just makes you feel lousy. Now you have your bacteria, in a sense, fighting, and the bad bacteria is overwhelming the good bacteria. It's the same thing with inflammation. If you only have inflammation for 12 hours, you know, it'll eventually go back. The body tries to keep a pH of between 7.35 and 7.45. But if you constantly have too much acid, which is basically the hydrogen proton, H+, that wears away the lining of your gut. That causes what the CDC said is 85% of all chronic diseases, or at least adversely affects them. And it'll do that for the 12 hours. And if you're doing it on a repeated basis, then it'll do it long term. And, you know, it affects your organs. You know, that's why you get, it causes vitamin deficiencies. Alcoholism, besides getting 50% of your calories from alcohol, is also the major cause of nutritional deficiency in the United States. And, you know, one of the vitamin deficiencies is wet brain, and it disrupts metabolism, it causes organ damage, it upsets the fluids, obviously the calories, the proteins, the electrolytes, the neurotransmitters, it affects all of that. And when that happens, you know, that's a problem. You know, it leads to diabetes, high blood pressure, seizures, even the ability to process thoughts. It shortens life expectancy, and in women, it increases osteoporosis.
Oh, wow.
Especially in that age group that you gave me.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, it's, you know, all these factors that you've mentioned sort of contribute to you feeling very physically subpar, right? You have inflammation going on, you have lower amounts of melatonin in your body, your gut bacteria is off. That's all kind of creating just a very undesirable atmosphere in your gut and in your digestive system.
That's correct.
So why is it that we end up craving these foods that you know will kind of make you feel worse, and you don't crave or are kind of turned off by foods that you know will make you feel better?
Okay, because first of all, there's several reasons. Number one, you stimulated the opiate receptors. So they're giving you urges, and they're giving you urges, and they never give you urges to have, you know, a good all-natural protein. They give you urges to have either substances that you're abusing or things that will re-stimulate the opiate receptors, like sugar, like gluten, like sugar substitutes except for stevia. So it's like a vicious circle. It caused inflammation. The inflammation throws off your insulin mechanism, that tells your body that you either need more sugar, or it tells your cells to drop the sugar, which stimulates the opiate receptors again, and then they tell you to have more sugar and more junk food, and more processed foods, and more foods with additives and preservatives, all things that will stimulate the opiate receptors, because they like being stimulated. When they're stimulated, they actually get binded to. And I call it stimulation, but most people call it binding. So these things that I mentioned, gluten, sugar, caffeine, nicotine, additives, preservatives, dairy, all those things stimulate the opiate receptors, and then they want more because they want to release their chemicals. So that's why it's happening.
On the flip side of it, I suppose it's just furthering the vicious cycle. Is that why you want to kind of avoid it? Because you can't really come out of that cycle without just cutting yourself off cold turkey?
Basically, one of the things that I do, and again, when I do it, it's for substance abuse and mental illness, but it's the same thing, you know, for what we're talking about is, it's good to not have the drugs, let's say we were talking about drugs, but if you keep stimulating the opiate receptors, they just transfer from one thing to another, so you're transferring the addiction from, you know, let's say heroin to sugar. That's why if you ever go to an AA meeting, you see everybody there is smoking and everybody there is eating candy bars. Well, here we're not really talking so much about substance abuse, but even if you cut down on the alcohol, or stop the alcohol, but you still keep stimulating the opiate receptors, you're still causing inflammation, you're still causing your pineal gland to get toxified, so you're cutting down on the melatonin, you're cutting down on all the things that make you feel good and that are healthy for you.
Your body's not going to crave the good for you food. But
no.
Obviously, but otherwise we would all be, you know, in wonderful health.
The body's going to crave, and the food technologists do this, things that stimulate the opiate receptors.
Mm-hmm.
The things that stimulate the opiate receptors cause inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Inflammation causes the other problems, and then it's just a vicious cycle. So the only way to do it is to have good, normal, healthy foods. As much as possible, not processed foods with no additives, no preservatives, no healthy fats, complex carbohydrates, healthy proteins, lots of fruits and vegetables. The darker the fruit, the sweeter the fruit, so stay to the lighter fruits, even though, you know, that sugar is obviously isn't as detrimental as, you know, regular sugar. Stay away from sugar substitutes except for stevia. That's the only one that doesn't stimulate the opiate receptors. And eat, you know, regular. And when you're hungry, eat good food, healthy food, a lot of proteins, a lot of fiber, a lot of fruits and vegetables to keep the full feeling. And it's extremely important to stay hydrated. And I'm a big, big believer in hydroxide water because that eliminates the acid. And if you eliminate the acid from the body, which is causing a lot of problems, which is the hydrogen protons, that and is being caused by alcohol, that would help with a hangover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you had hydroxide water right away.
Okay. What benefits are there in general of rehydrating? I mean, I know that there is one big idea of the fact that when you're drinking all night, when you wake up, you feel so terrible because, in part, you probably haven't had any water. You're probably
That's right.
hydrated,
See,
right?
Our body's made up of over 60% water. So you need to have one half your body weight in ounces of water per day. And I, like I said, I'm a big believer in hydroxide water. And when you don't have the water, you're dehydrated. Your body doesn't understand the difference lots of times between when you're hungry or when you're thirsty. So it mixes up the signals. So you're dehydrated and you go and you have sugar.
Okay.
It keeps everything moving. When everything is moving through both blood system and our lymphatic system, that's how we get rid of the toxins in our body.
Okay.
So you need to stay hydrated for that.
And how does that affect your mood as well, or your sort of the efficiency of your brain?
Well, like I said, if you don't have the melatonin and you don't have the serotonin because of the pineal gland and because of inflammation, you know, it's blocking it, and too much cortisol is getting released, which blocks both the melatonin and the serotonin. Those are the feel-good substances that our body produces. That's, you know, sort of like getting high naturally without getting high. It's actually called the feel-good neurotransmitter, and it's blocking that. So you're going to take other things then to feel good. And so, you know, ice cream makes it feel good to a lot of people, or sugar, or things like that.
Does rehydrating or taking in more micronutrients help to restore that balance?
Yes. It won't do it. Rehydrating will help, especially with, like I said, the hydroxide water. That'll help quickly because it'll get rid of the acid. So that'll cut down on the inflammation. So that'll help right away. But even regular water will help some. And, you know, to get everything moving again in the body, because now everything's moving slow and we made it sort of sludge-like. And that's not good. And we're keeping all the toxins in place, and then they're going to throughout our body, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Foods in particular that you can eat to help reduce the inflammation that's caused by alcohol?
Yes, and they're the standard foods. You're talking about vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You should have 9 servings, 6 vegetables and 3 fruits a day. And, you know, an apple could be the equivalent, you know, if it's big enough, of 3 servings of fruit. But you want to have fruits and vegetables. You want to have a good healthy protein. You need healthy fats, because our brain is made up almost of all fats.
Mm-hmm.
You need complex carbohydrates, because they have serotonin in them and melatonin in them, so you know, which will help. So regular, good, healthy foods, staying away from sugar, obviously alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, dairy products have a lot of sugar in it. Obviously caffeine and nicotine, all of those things affect the opiate receptors, which help start the whole cycle. They toxify the pineal gland, they cause inflammation, and it causes a cycle. When you start having healthy foods, the water will help much quicker, the hydroxide water, but the healthy foods will help over a period of time, and I don't mean weeks, I mean hours.
Yeah. What is it about these foods that help to reduce inflammation?
Well, inflammation is caused by acidity. So if you have a diet and water that is getting rid of the acidity and is helping the body maintain its pH, that's what will get rid of the inflammation. You know, when you don't have too much acid, you don't have too much inflammation. There's nobody who has inflammation that doesn't have too much acid in their body.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to eat really, really low acidic foods.
Yeah.
So.
And like my diet, and they could get it from the name program, they could download a diet, even though it looks like it's for substance abuse, but it works for anybody. And my diet is 70% alkaline and 30% acidic. And I think I answered all your questions. How'd I do?
You did great. I have one more for you, though.
Okay.
Which is, are there any kinds of direct trades you can make between the food you're craving and things that will make you feel better but will also kind of satisfy? Like, you mentioned complex carbs a few times, and I think that that's a great...
Proteins, complex carbs, fiber, vegetables and fruits, all those are traits that you can make. If you have to have something sweet, the only thing sweet that I know of that you could use as a sugar substitute, since this is Weight Watchers and they're watching the weight, is stevia.
Okay.
Pure stevia you could use, and that's sweet, but it doesn't affect anything negatively.
Okay. Perfect. I think that's all my questions. information for you.
Okay, if you need anything else, feel free to give me a call or email me. Oh, do you need my website? Or do you have it?
Yeah, I have it all from David.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Sandra, good.